Sentinel Online. Now loading the Beast Unleashed podcast. This episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast features Stephen C. Phillips, Mike Blanchard, and Michael Wilson.
Welcome to the world's first ever Beast Wars Beast Machines review podcast. This is the Beast Unleashed podcast brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am your host, Steve, Jim, and Mike, and I'm joined as usual with Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello.
And Pecan Court Michael. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty good.
Always say that.
I think that's like my catchphrase.
Yeah, it is. You've said that.
If I'm worthy of a catchphrase, I think that's it.
Yeah, you've said it in almost every single episode you've ever been on, except maybe a few TFG ones.
Some of the earlier ones.
It's almost like the catchphrase, I can't believe it's not butter.
Megatron, go rape Barney. Go somewhere else.
Today
we will be covering the final three episodes of Beast Wars Season 2, the epic three-parter, The Agenda. So how have you guys been? Steve, what have you been up to?
Not too much. No.
No, actually, Yes, laugh at me. Yes, that's how we do it here. Yes. Yeah, so I
like
recorded
a school girl.
Not quite that gay. But
So how's your day been?
It's been good. I recorded a little audio snippet for RFC the other day, and for those of you that don't know what RFC is, I did Radio Free Cybertron as Megatron.
Oh, awesome.
Like, you were listening to a thing, sent it to Brian Kilby.
Cool.
Earlier in the week or last week or something, I don't know.
That's cool.
Today I went and saw, being that my job had these free little voucher things to go see it, Despicable Me.
Yeah.
In the theater, which
in 3D?
You know, yes, it's in Real D 3D.
Mm.
Which, surprisingly, it fit really well with this film. I was impressed. Like, this was one film that they didn't... It did help the film.
Yeah. I like the real 3D. The real 3D.
Yes,
is...
I like the real 3D.
Yeah.
It was quite a entertaining film, even though if I wouldn't have had the voucher, I probably would not have seen it in theater. But,
yeah.
Being that I, you know, saw it in there, I'd have to say that it was a pretty damn good movie. And it doesn't come out till tomorrow. So, yes.
Or as of the airing of this podcast, it doesn't come out until this past Friday.
whatever you decide to say, but yes.
Yeah.
Tomato, tomato.
Bacon. Same thing.
Bacon. Tomato, double cheeseburger.
Yes. And... Sausage McMuffin, I don't know. yes, and I have all of the DCAU Bat Saga series now.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Other than that, that's about all that's been going on with me.
What about you, Mr. Wilson?
Nothing. I haven't been doing anything. I've been doing a lot of sleeping, thankfully. And
you've been sleeping on Disney park benches.
I'm recovering from Disney, I think
there's
is what it
no
comes down
to. Sleeping during BotCon, damn it. Not it's not during the day anyway.
Oh, well. We covered that already, but it, yeah. No, we went back at least once a day for a nap. Except when I was at BotCon, in which case the family came back and took a nap while I was off listening to panels and things like that.
Yeah. For those of you who are not in the know, I'm referring to a picture his wife posted on her Facebook of him just zoned out on a Disney park bench looking like half drunk drooling somewhere. I was waiting for Alf to just be right in your face.
Oh, no, that wasn't a park bench. There's a photo of me where we are on our way to one of the parks in a shuttle bus.
Oh, well,
and next to me. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm the one who has to carry the stroller. So we get on this bus, on the shuttle. I carry the stroller with me. I put the stroller next to me, and I'm kind of leaning on it so that it doesn't fall over on anybody else besides myself. And I just, you know, it's like 7:30 in the morning, and I've been up since probably about 5:30 because everyone has to get up and take a shower. And there's 4 adults in the room and 2 kids. So, yeah. I mean, it's a hectic morning. I've already had a full day by the time I get on the bus, and I haven't even gotten to the park yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, sleep while I can, you know? And, you know, I don't think anybody was aggravated by me. Actually, no, I think some people were aggravated because I snore. So, yeah. Anyway, but yeah, so I'm the only one taking a nap, and everybody else takes a nap when they come back around noon or 1 o'clock. Yeah, but I still had a full day of BotCon ahead of me, so I figured I would catch a little, you know, 15-minute nap while we were heading over to the park. Yeah.
Yes. What else has been going on since you've been back from BotCon besides catching up on sleep?
You know, same old, same old. It's just taking care of the boys and going to work, that type of thing. I did go to Toys R Us the other day and saw the Power Core Combiners, and I was all set to buy like all of them, and then I said, you know what, I think I'm just going to wait until these come out at Target. And then I passed. I figured that I'd already spent enough money on Transformers recently at BotCon. Yeah, so I just skipped on them, and I figured, you know, if and when they show up at Target, so I'll get them then.
Yeah.
They do look nice, though.
I've seen a few reviews of them. It's, again, it's not my thing, but I don't outright hate them like I outright hate the movie line, with the exception of Ravage.
Oh, and I saw the new Ravage repaint, too.
The Sea Attack.
Yeah, I almost bought him, too. I was very close to it. I saw the Sea Attack Ravage. I saw that one blue plane repaint. And the only thing I didn't see is the War for Cybertron figures, because I would have bought those outright.
Yeah, I'm going to have to renew my pre-orders from Big Bag Toy Store for Optimus and Bumblebee, because I was trying to take advantage of Toys R Us's sale through the 4th of July weekend of buy one, get one half off.
Yeah.
Except Optimus was out of stock on the freaking website. And I don't go to Toys R Us that often, the actual physical store. In the store that we had been going to, frankly, that store sucks. They just do. Half the packages are half opened and everything. Yeah, it is just a horrible, horrible store. So I just by chance decided to look at Hasbro Toy Shop. And it said in stock. We'll ship within however long or whatever. So nice. I go to buy it. Of course, me, I have to buy 2 of everything, so with shipping, it came to like, $66-something dollars. Well, it was, because 2 figures, $12.99 a piece, that's 4 figures, it's 50-something.
You got hoes.
Plus 10, shut up, plus $10 shipping, standard shipping, so, it shows up on my bank account on the 2nd when I did the pre-order, it shows up in the pending. And it stays in pending until this past Tuesday when it disappeared altogether. And I'm like, what's going on here? So I spent like 45 minutes on the phone with the bank guy And I was like, well, am I going to have to put more money in my account? Because I thought the money was already gone. And I only had a certain amount left in my account, which wasn't enough. And he's like, yeah, you probably should. So I contacted Hasbro Toy Shop, and I'm like, well, why is this order not gone through? What's the deal with this? What's going on? Oh, well, they're on pre-order. I was like, no, when I put them in my cart, they didn't say anything about pre-order. They said that they were in stock. Oh, yeah. Well, if it says, you know, it's going to ship in 1 to 2 business day, that means it's on pre-order. I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. Cancel the order. So I canceled the order. My bank account's safe. Whatever. I'm not too thrilled with Hasbro Toy Shop. Of course, I've only bought something from them once before. I bought I bought Wolverine and the Hulk Mighty Mugs, which that went through fine. I don't get it. So, yeah, I'm not too thrilled with.
Hello and welcome to Medi Collector 2.0.
Yeah, no, 6.0. Speaking of Medi Collector, I did purchase something from Big Bad Toy Store. And it's a big fuck you to MattyCollector.com because I got Lobo, the Justice League, DC Universe Justice League Lobo that I guess he's going to be – I thought he was going to be an SDCC exclusive, but apparently he's general release. It's actually much larger than most of the other Justice League Unlimited figures. I think he's 7-8 inches tall, where most of those are 6-inch figures. Very, very cool. It actually just came in the mail today, so that'll be talked about on a future ToyCast. New computer. No fan. So everybody who's made comments or emailed or wrote on the Facebook wall of they always hear a fan in the background, there's no fan. I have a brand new computer. It has more than what I need for it. I just need to be able to find the stupid system tray tools.
Like, so now what he's saying is you won't hear any more.
Yeah, pretty much. But I need to find disk cleanup and disk defrag because I can't friggin' find them in Windows 7.
By the way, disk cleanup blows. It doesn't do jack shit. Let me send you the files that
I know. Well, you'll send me those later after we're done with this. But yeah. No, I know that, but I was just saying, in general, there's one thing that I cannot find. It's taken me, I don't know, probably all of 48 hours since I've had this thing to get all my stuff off the external drive onto this. I really like it. I'm not going to go too far into it. We may have like some sort of computer episode for GCR, so I can talk about this more. What?
Sweet.
So, yeah, and surprisingly, yeah, that fan was super loud because it is, like, so quiet in here now, even with this computer on. It is just a world of difference. The only downside is I can hear my downstairs neighbors more than ever, so I kind of miss that giant fan.
You're going to have to get, like, a fan now.
So instead of hearing thump, 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 you hear thump, thump.
No, it's more like yelling and screaming and throwing something against the wall.
I told nice. You, bitch, get down.
Wiseman Hunter doesn't understand. I said down, bug.
So that's what's been going on with me. Actually, I think I have two more things coming in. I don't know if they're... I know one is going to come in tomorrow. Well, by the time this airs... one is going to come in on Friday. I sent Vault Matrix, Spada from TFWire, I sent him some cash and he got me Exodus off of Amazon with the he has an Amazon Prime membership, so he was nice enough to get that for me, and I will have Exodus by tomorrow. Was going to order the Almanac, but I that's going to have to wait till next month. Hopefully, I can talk Jim Sorensen into giving me a review copy of it, but I don't think that's going to happen. Shut up. Oh, yeah, and before we go to the episodes, one other big triumph. I got my actual Matrix box now.
Nice. Yes, instead of being
the two left halves. I plan on doing a video where I kept the old box. I plan on doing a video where I just drop the two halves. It's like broken matrix, kind of like when the broken halves dropped in optimal situation.
They were the same half in the show, too?
No. Talk about dancing with two left feet.
No, I'd be like, God damn it, I can't put it back together.
I just don't have the power, Jim.
Prime is no more. Yes. Only primal time.
Oh, God. And on that note, we are going to get into some episodes.
Strange. One would think a greeting would be the next step.
Tried all the hailing frequencies, no response.
Scanners.
Nothing up there. Nothing. Oh, man. This is getting weirder and weirder.
I smell something. Someone's here. Someone we can't see.
What do you think it is, Big Bot?
Not what. Who?
Huh?
After the Great War, a few Decepticons were granted amnesty. Most have retired, but rumor has it that one was reprogrammed and rebuilt as a Predacon.
Hey!
Ravage.
You will pardon my shooting the weapons from your hands. I only wish to avoid any regrettable accidents to my person.
Yeah? Well, next time, try the front door.
Rat Trap, please.
Please? Oh, for booting up cold, the only thing worse than a stinking pred is a stinking Decepticon.
Shut up.
So yes, we are on the season finale of Beast Wars Season 2, The Agenda, Part 1. Special Cartoon Network preview, March 11th, 1998. Regular syndication premiere, May 9th, 1998. Written by Bob Forward. Rhinox tracks the transwarp wave from Aftermath, announcing that Cybertron will soon know of the Axelon's location in space and time. But on a faraway Cybertronian space station, the Tripredicus Council deflects the wave and dispatches an agent to prehistoric Earth. The agent arrives and offers to help, presenting himself to the Maximals as Ravage, formerly of the Decepticon army. But first, Megatron sends his own troops on a secret mission. Dun, dun, dun! Wow. I love this episode. I love all three of these episodes.
Yes.
First note was, going home, Primal and Cheetor do a square dance. Or a circle dance or whatever.
Grab your hoe and do-si-do.
Yeah. And Rhinox using a party favor, that's just funny.
Where the hell did he get that?
I don't know.
Look it. It's magical. I replicated this. It's from Earth in the future. We've never seen it all season, but here it is. I've been waiting all season to crack these babies out.
Yep.
I can just imagine the 3D animator. He's like, you know how hard it is to make a party favor do that? This is like a huge pain in the ass. This is a coup, is what this is.
This is like, it in. This is because you defied me. Take that.
Cheetor is still a kid at heart. Six Flags theme park reference.
The Six Flags over Cybertron.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, Rat Trap wants to take Silverbolt to a titty bar. And he's basically like, come on, we're going to the titty bar. And Cheetor's like, well, of course Silverbolt doesn't want to go to a titty bar, but
no, you know, Cheetor's like, already.
Unless Black Arachnia was at the titty bar, spinning around on a pole.
She wouldn't have to. She already has him hanging out. She has all season and last.
Yeah, but this way she gets like 50s tucked into her G-string. Yeah.
With payments.
To make the payment, exactly. But Cheetor, completely oblivious to the Gentleman Club reference, is more interested in going to see Six Flags over Cybertron. To which,
like, shut up.
Yeah, he's like, kid, don't make me hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make me hurt you.
I have better things to do.
That's right. He's like, you know what? I'm going to a titty bar. You
and
shut
I'm getting
up.
Drunk.
That's right. That's right. I'm going to see titties. You go. You shut the hell up. Just kind of disturbing. I don't know exactly how he put it, but he's like, you know, the fembots are not wearing chassis on their.
They're not
exactly what he said, but he's alluding to the fact they're topless.
Yeah. That sneaky pred council.
Sneaky.
Yes.
Blowing up the satellite and stuff.
There was a question, I want to say two episodes ago, and somebody said, well, how come the Autobots didn't know about the transwarp wave?
Yeah.
And it was specifically because the Tripredicus Council had blown up
it was their little satellite, but the reason was is when the gate between time and space was opened, it went directly to the future, therefore the Autobots and Decepticons would have never seen it. However, the Predacons having that satellite, or actually further ones out, detected it ahead of time, and set that other satellite to blow up so the Maximals never found out.
What I originally thought happened was that satellite was a Maximal satellite. And they blew it up so that it wouldn't retrieve the data from the transwarp.
No.
It was their satellite. They blew it up in order to break the wave so that it would bypass Cybertron altogether.
Yeah. It's all Michael Powers' fault as far as the whole, why isn't it the Autobots and not the Maximals and all this? Because he kept thinking that it was two different timelines. That whole convoluted logic of his, that's all his damn fault. Anyway.
Well, speaking of the Predacon generals, a while back during a toy cast, we did a review of Robots in Disguise Bruticus, who was the not the Combiner, who ended up being named Ruination, but the Bruticus character, which was the three-headed dog.
Right.
I'm looking at the three generals, and I'm thinking, these three faces, and that's pretty much all you see is their faces, but these three faces look an awful lot like the three faces on Bruticus. And it was weird, because at the time we were wondering, you know, why does Bruticus have all these arms and legs? You know, what is he supposed to do? And I'm wondering, you know, in retrospect, if maybe he was supposed to transform one at a time into each of the three generals.
Could be.
It would have been cool, but again, I don't think we know any Hasbro designers who put this guy together.
Yeah. Primal facepalms rat trap. That's just awesome.
Facepalms.
He facepalms at rat trap. I don't know. Rat trap said something, and Primal just goes, and he just facepalms him.
Steve?
Oh, where Primal smacks Rat Trap in the face?
No, where Primal smacks himself in the face because of Rat Trap.
Probably because of a comment he said. I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was either. It was right after the Predacon Council scene.
You're kind of rattling off bullet points here, and I'm waiting for some context. But
well, there really is no context. Oh, poor Cheetor. He hit the ground, then got the jets working.
Yeah, he took himself out before the battle even started.
Yeah, that's not good. And actually, you know, for me loving these three-part episodes, I don't have a hell of a lot of notes because my last note for this part is Megatron is arrested. Woohoo!
That's right. A first.
Huh?
Him getting arrested.
Yeah.
Well, he took a Decepticon to come in there and just rattle things up.
Well, that's because that's only a Decepticon would think like that.
Right.
Steve, what do you got for this one?
Alrighty then.
Okay, before you start, please stop doing the whole Ace Ventura thing.
I noticed that.
You used that every single episode last episode. Don't do that.
And the one before that, too. And I was thinking about that as I was listening to these, and Mike talks in bullet points and shifts from bullet point to bullet point with no segue, and Steve
segues
everything with Ace Ventura.
Or movie quotes.
Yeah, well, you take better notes, too.
And I remember the show better than Mike, because, yeah.
Whatever.
Mike needs to insert foot and ass.
No, not really.
Boot and ass. They're,
boot to the ass.
Yes. I like that they had the Tripartite Council featured in this. I thought that was a nice touch to the I mean, even though they didn't resemble the figures, you could kind of get, you know, that these guys were the head honchos running the show and that there was some other thing that they were trying to prevent, mostly Megatron's giant scheme, and which shows that they were aware of his previous schemes.
Right, and they were trying to hide it from the Maximals.
Yes, and they had to send a specialist in the form of an ancient Decepticon, older than possibly them, which I thought was a cool touch, and having a badass ship to go along with it. I like where Megatron, you know, keeps saying that he's gambling, and then you're like, what the hell is he talking about? And, you know, he's betting on Black Arachnia using essentially a Waspinator to lure Black Arachnia to her, you know, location that she's headed to throughout the three-parter. Then there's that scene where Inferno and Waspinator are trying to, you know, set up their little weaponry, and the scanners are scanning by, trying to find the Predacons, and they just keep ducking, and then Rampage just goes in and just friggin' shoots three big missiles at the base, and you know, just like, hey, I'm not going to play this little wait-around game. I'm just going to start blowing shit up. And then it was really cool to see Ravage actually fly in with his ship, just start gunning them down, making them retreat, and shooting all the Maximals' weapons away, and Rat Trap getting pissed off there was a Decepticon.
Are we,
Yeah, Steve is getting into part two a little
bit
there.
Part two? Yeah.
No, that's part one, Captain Crapper.
No.
Yeah, well, in part one, they attack the Decepticon ship. And
no.
That's when they go in and arrest Megatron.
Yeah, by the end of the episode.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. They go in and attack. But
the whole Tarantulas bit is in part two. Because Tarantulas isn't revealed until part two.
I didn't say anything about Tarantulas.
I'm not sure what you're talking about,
I don't know what he's talking about either.
Did you watch the fucking episode?
I watched the episode, but the Tarantulas...
watched it five times. No, I watched the... wait a minute now. Yeah,
I said nothing about anything past the arrest of Megatron. I was talking about other aspects of the other characters throughout the episode.
Okay, so the Predacons attack the Axalon, and they're just about to take it out. But before they do, they get really, really close. Before they do, Ravage shows up, and
okay,
keeps them from, you know, keeps
right.
Them
from going.
Okay,
I got it now.
Shut
up.
Yeah. Ass face, but yeah, I would have to say the invisible ship and Cheetah getting splatted on the ground for once was kind of funny, and then especially Megatron realizing the whole ship doesn't work anymore when he tries to press a button and gets arrested with the energy bars.
Yep. What about you, Michael?
A few notes. There's some things that I had noticed. I still can't get over it that Silverbolt has his own theme song.
It's like a 2 second.
You know, it's still
every time he comes in.
Yeah, it's every time he's on the screen, it pipes up. Which yeah, it's kind of neat. I don't think anybody else has their own theme song.
Mm-mm. Nope.
No, not really, other than possibly Tarantulas when he does something kind of schemingly.
Yeah.
whenever Silverbolt says something like extra noble and kind of, you know, dorky, that's when his theme plays.
Yeah, well, here it's just pretty much whenever he's on the screen.
Yeah, this but here he, it is.
Yeah, yeah, but he flies in and it's like, oh, how sweet, he's dating Black Arachnia. Or is she just using him? Because yeah, it appears like she's just using him, but at the same time, she's more protective of him than she really should be. But what made me wonder is, how does Rat Trap know? Because Rat Trap kind of alludes to the fact that you know, Silverbolt's making the beast with two backs. And he says, hey. Oh, he says, oh, did you find any new positions?
Yeah.
And Silverbolt goes batshit on him and stomps on his head.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, he had that coming. All right, he's had that coming for about two seasons now. But how did he know? Is it that obvious?
Oh, I'm
why
sure.
Why is everybody else letting him get away with it?
Because even Primal deduced that.
I think Primal heard, but he didn't want to believe it. And it wasn't until he confronted him that it was like, oh, well.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. But, I mean, that was really, and I don't think this happened until the beginning of part two, but once Primal confronts him and says, hey, this isn't cool. You really got to.
Yeah, that's in part this. Two.
Yeah, it wasn't until that that I, you know, I've really seen Primal have to make, I don't want to say command decisions, but as far as like personnel decisions like that, not strategic fighting battle, you know, commands, but look, you're out of line, and it really has to stop here.
Well, you know, Primal even gives him a chance to deny it and say, hey, look, and again, this is a little bit into part two, but, you know, he says, look, if I'm wrong, I'll apologize right now, but if I'm right, then, you know, you're in deep duty.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, yeah, I see where that was going, and I understand why Silverbolt did what he did, but at the same time, it's like, wow, you know, he's got a temper on him. He just completely squatted down Rat Trap and squashed his head.
Yep.
He was going to snap it right off, it looked like.
I thought so, too. I was like, ooh, wow. Well,
you know, not
he's
to speak...
He's not in his mouth anymore.
Not to speak ill of the dead, but Dinobot's dead. Rat Trap's got to pick on somebody.
Well, he picked on the wrong doggy bot.
Ain't that the truth?
This time.
This time.
Then he's like, I struck a nerve.
Yeah. Yeah, but the whole Black Arachnia romance thing where, you know, kind of culminates in her getting away because Silverbolt can't fire on her. And I think that's what really tips off Primal to what's going on with him. But at the time, I was wondering, well, where the hell is she going? Because I think Primal, someone had said, oh, if she's going where I think she's going, and it was Primal, if she's going where I think she's going, we're all screwed.
Yeah, I think that was... Is that in part two or is it in part three?
It's where the end's of part one.
Where
Silverbolt refuses to fire on her. And that, again, that's pretty much how, I'm assuming, how Primal comes to realize that Silverbolt won't fire on Black Arachnia because he's got a thing for her, or they're dating.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and at first I'm thinking, well, where's she going? And it doesn't occur to me, probably, you know, until Agenda Part 2 or 3, that, closer to the end of Part 2, beginning of Part 3, where she's going and why she's going there. Mm-hmm. And the whole Megatron gambling on her, or gambling that she will do what he thinks she will do.
Yeah,
that's because Megatron is one highly intelligent freaking Predacon. Look at what all he's accomplished in the entire Beast Saga just because he's such a badass.
Yeah, he's just really smart and really resourceful.
This is
until, of course, Ravin shows up.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
So he's a secret operative in an experimental transwarp ship that's invisible. So he's kind of like Wonder Woman in that regard. And he flies in his invisible plane and begins to blow shit up.
But he doesn't wear the same costume.
Yeah, unfortunately. Where are the tights, Ravage? Come on now. You know, they could have put the tights on the X9.
Oh, jeez. Oh, God.
Well, no, that bothers me, too, because Japan got a figure of Ravage, and he wasn't named Ravage, he was named X-9.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been awesome if we'd have gotten a Ravage in this.
I would have bought it.
I would have bought the hell out of it. I didn't even collect Beast Wars at the time. But I do have a Tri-Predacus Agent, which is just a Cheetor repaint.
But that's technically, that's like the Ravage from the new Beast Wars comics.
Is it?
Technically. I mean, it's still there's still a different paint deco, but it's the same figure.
Well, yeah, the Tri-Predacus Agent is a Cheetor. It was a Walmart exclusive. It's a Cheetor repaint, but it transforms just like Cheetor does. There's no Cheetah head.
Yeah, yeah, it was yeah, it was used for the one of the earlier botcons where they were going to have like Tarantulas and all these other guys come back. But they again used that same character model in the Beast Wars comics, the second set, I believe, for Ravage. When they revived him as a Transmetal 2.
I don't remember. I know in Botcon had a Tigatron repaint of the X9.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in 2000 or 2001. It was the year they were in South Carolina.
I'd love to get my hands on either one, but they're too damn expensive.
I just saw the Tigatron. Oh, I haven't seen an X9 on eBay in forever, but I just saw the Botcon Tigatron repaint for like $130. And I was very tempted to buy it because I didn't get to South Carolina, so I didn't. There's that Tigatron, and there's a RC, which is a repaint of Transmetal Black Arachnia. And that turned out really nice, too. It's actually got a voice chip with Sue Blue's voice on it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, those are expensive. Those will go for a lot of money. But yeah, so, you know, it would be nice to even see, like, a reissue, maybe. I'd buy a 15th anniversary X9.
Yeah, provided it was cool. Cheap enough. Like, I could see anywhere under $50.
Well, I mean, X9 probably sold for about the same amount as your, you know, Cheetors at the time. I could see getting one in a commemorative box for $20 here. Maybe a Toys R Us exclusive. 15th anniversary Ravage, in Beast Wars Ravage.
Yeah.
You know, it could be done. I don't think it'll ever happen, but it would be really cool. I mean, considering that for our 10th anniversary, we got repaints of the Cybertron, Beast Megatron, and Beast Optimus molds. So, you know, not really looking forward to a, or not really expecting, let's say, a Ravage for the 15th anniversary. But, yeah, speaking of Ravage, when they go to attack the Decepticon ship, he basically, the first thing he does is dump all the Maximals out. It's kind of like a frontal assault. And they immediately get their asses handed to him. In fact, Cheetor actually takes himself out, you know, before he can even get into the fight. And my question becomes, why wouldn't Ravage take out the turrets with the ship before dropping off the Maximals? I mean, why wouldn't he? He's got all this firepower. Why wouldn't he just kind of fly in and soften up the target, you know, a little bit, you know, take out the defenses on the landing zone, and then drop the Maximals in?
Mm.
It doesn't make much sense. And, you know, I mean, once the Maximals are on the ground and through the defenses, then he starts open firing. And basically the Maximals are all scrambling trying to get out of the way.
Well,
they're all happy once Ravage gets in there and arrests Megatron, but at the time they're getting their asses handed to them by their ally.
Well, you know, he is a Decepticon, so...
Well, so he has horrible battle tactics? I mean, you'd think... you'd think, so many millennia later, he'd figure it out.
But he was a cassette.
Well, that makes it
all
worth it.
We'll get to that at the end of part two. We will get to that at the end of part two. Do we have any other notes for part one?
No, I think I'm good on part one.
Okay. No, I think that about covers it. That was a nice episode.
In part yes. two...
Part I actually left openly when Ravage appeared. He was like, yeah, it's Ravage. And I was like, ha ha! And Chrissy wondered what the hell I was laughing about. But
yeah. All right. In part two, the special air date was, the special preview was March 12th, 98. Syndication premiere was May 16th, 98, written by Bob Forwood. Optimus Primal is concerned that Silverbolt's feelings for the Predacon Black Arachnia are interfering with his duty as a Maximal. Aboard his ship, Ravage taunts the captive Megatron, but Megatron reveals his true intentions for stealing the Golden Disk and its connection with the original Generation 1 Megatron. Meanwhile, Silverbolt and Black Arachnia arrive at a familiar volcano. Let's see here. Well, first of all, I didn't really mention this earlier, but I love Primal's story of Ravage about, you know, some, most Decepticons have retired, some were granted amnesty and all this and all that, but one was rebuilt and reprogrammed as a Tripredicus agent or council, whatever the hell it was. Whatever.
Get it right.
And then,
well,
and he goes,
he's got the Predacon insignia on his shoulder.
Yeah, and I don't like that.
But in the ship he's flying, there's a, you know, big-ass Decepticon logo.
Yep.
Which is very cool.
And also, Ravage reveals the mole, Tarantulas. However, I still don't like that damn spider.
I think it's hilarious that he's been working and undermining everybody the entire time.
Yeah, I like it that, you know, the whole time you know that he's had his own agenda.
Yeah.
But now it's clear what that agenda was. It's like, he, you know, he's doing his own thing. He's working against Megatron to further his own goals. And it's like, well, what are his goals exactly? Well, it's, you know, he's working on behalf of the Tripredicus Council.
Yeah. Hey, no sucker punching Cheetor, you dumb doggy bot. What the hell?
Did it twice.
That was so wrong.
He says sorry. He was sorry.
I don't care. Twice? That was wrong.
I'm sorry again.
I swear it's a mistake. I didn't mean to do it. My fist just slipped.
It's like, it's, he's like, oh, you know that thing I did, the rat trap in the last episode? All right, it's your turn. I'm not leaving anybody out. Come on. Take
Where's
it like
Primal?
A man.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, I was never really a fan of the spider romance stuff. The Silverbolt Black Arachnia romance stuff is even worse. Just get together, get it on, and get it over with.
You know what it is? It's like a Transformers Romeo and Juliet.
God, yeah.
I mean, essentially it is. That's,
yeah.
It's basically what
even
they
Even after
like.
Dinobot dies, we still get Shakespeare.
Yep.
In some form.
Yep. Oh, poor Waspinator. He didn't even see that splat alert coming.
Oh, that was hilarious.
I know.
It was such a glorious and unforgettable explosion of parts.
I'm not sure if Waspinator has ever been in so many pieces.
Well, I don't think so either, and somehow his hand pulled his head away.
His hand's like a little head chariot. Pulls him across.
He's like Thing from the Addams Family, only with a head attached.
Look at the head.
Yeah.
Like, there he goes, back to base.
I think I remember the line, but it's... I know I grabbed it for audio for this episode, but the line is something like, Waspinator just flying along, minding his own business, then gets an entire ship drove up his patootie or something or other.
You said something there.
Waspinator minding his own business when, bang, gets whole stasis pod right up the kazooty.
That's what it is.
Said.
That's what it is.
I'd say there was something in this Pazuti. I don't remember.
All right, now I have two notes left, and one of the notes, after I say that one, we need to give at least 10 seconds of silence because I want Steve to include something in the clip, in the post production. But the next one I've got is, whilst I love Gary Chalk, I'm not too thrilled that they got him for G1 Megatron. I don't know, I just didn't...
Did Gary Chalk do the voice?
Yep.
Yes.
Really? Because I thought that Megatron sounded a lot like Starscream.
Nope. It's Gary Chalk.
That was Gary Chalk. He seems to be their guy to go to for any like additional voices for the show.
Well, I'm sure a lot of them did additional voices, because, I mean, let's be honest, the cast for this was a very tight-knit group. I mean, it was almost similar to, you know, some of the old 80s cartoons where you have two or three people doing two or three different voices, outside of the main characters, obviously. So,
I don't know. I'm going to go with Scott McNeil and say he probably could have done a better Megatron.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know, because I even asked him. I know Michael probably doesn't remember this, because he probably didn't even listen to me. He probably hasn't listened to his own interview that he did, but I even asked Gary about that, and he said, oh, yeah, I think I did do that voice when we talked to Gary.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, that's
pretty sure. I don't remember either.
That's what he said.
Yeah. And after I read this this next line, we need to do a few moments of silence, because this was just a very awesome line. Decepticons forever! Insert classic TF sound here.
Decepticons forever!
Yeah, that was very cool.
That was awesome.
The classic Transformers set. And the fact that he turns into a cassette.
Cassette.
And inserts himself into the console.
And then rock music plays.
Yeah. It's like, how do you do that? I mean, you know, everyone else, oh, you know, obeys the law of no mass shifting, and yet you've got Kitty Cat transforming into a tiny little box.
You know what it was? He says, I gotta keep my alt mode. He says, sorry guys, when you upgrade me, I still have to keep it. He's like, just in case Soundwave comes back online one day.
Yeah. He says it's kind of worthless because there haven't been, you know, Sony Walkmans in the last 3,000 years, but I still need to turn into a mini cassette if that's cool with you guys. Right?
Well, you know, honestly, now that, you know, you guys or Steve brought up Soundwave, you know, honestly, I'm thinking, and I know this isn't the case, but when I rewatched this and I watched him, I watched all three parts, because it is Ravage. I brought an association between the ship and Laserbeak or Buzzsaw. Because if you look at the way the ship lands, it's almost like 2 feet growing out of the bottom of it, and it almost looks like some sort of bird.
Yeah, I could see that.
Crickets, crickets, crickets.
I don't think it was meant to be those two, but I
well, true, but I mean, that's, you know, obviously I'm drawing conclusions. I mean, I know it's not that, but
I can see how you would draw the conclusion.
Yeah,
yes.
That's the point. And that's pretty much all I got. I figured I'd end my notes on a bang with the whole Decepticons forever thing.
It was very cool.
Yes. What about you, Michael? What do you have?
A few things I had noticed. Primal has pistons in his shoulders, which I had never noticed before, and it was weird because since I was watching the rest of the this episode and the next episode, I'm kind of watching for those shoulder pistons to move. But while he was, you know, dressing down Silverbolt, saying "bad doggy," you know, no dating spiders, he was moving his arms, you know, especially when he turned around and put his arms behind his back. He's got, like, these pistons attached to his shoulder blades that kind of come up and come back down into his shoulder pads.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, that's weird. I've never noticed those before. But here they're articulated and actually moving independently. And I thought that was terribly cool. I'm not sure if that's, like, a difference in the mold or a difference in the model that they put for this episode. Or if it's always been there and I just never noticed it, but you know, I thought it was kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else notice that?
No.
I didn't pay that close of attention to it.
Ah, okay. All right. Well, okay then. I dig the Decepticon insignia on the ship. I probably mentioned that already. I thought that
still
was very cool.
Yeah.
Very neat.
My only problem with the Decepticons insignia in this three-parter, it's red.
It's shattered glass.
No. It's red maroonish, kind of like the Predacon symbol.
Yeah.
And I just don't dig that, because I'm of the mind that if you're going to be an evil Decepticon, it needs to be purple.
It has to be purple. I don't know. I dug it, regardless. I was happy just to see it there.
Yeah.
It was fan wink, regardless.
True.
Yeah, yeah. I liked Black Arachnia's air skiff. You know, I mean, it's literally like a boat, and she's got a hold of the tiller in one hand.
It's a garbage scow.
Yeah.
I am Retgar. I dare to be stupid.
Well, it wasn't garbage until Silverbolt showed up and landed on it.
Yeah.
And it was even more garbage after Waspinator ran into it.
No, even through Waspinator.
Or vice versa, yeah.
Waspinator ran into it. That's the story Black Arachnia is hitting for.
Mm. Oh, yeah, he just kind of smacked it on his own volition. But the rain of debris that came down when they actually wrecked, I'm trying to pick out which pieces are the ship and which pieces are Waspinator.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this one looks pretty green. That might be him.
I still, and we will do this when we do a recap of, I think when we do the season 3 recap, I will pick out the best Waspinator splat alerts, because I still say the whole cube thing was one of the best ones.
That was the best, yeah.
Yeah, that was like quite possibly my favorite.
Yeah. But, to digress here, the whole reason Waspinator gets run over is because nobody was paying attention to where they were driving, because they were more involved in shooting Silverbolt.
Damn spiders.
And she shoots him right in the dick.
You shot me!
You shot me!
Testicles!
Right in the dick! Yeah, no, I mean, it was... You know, he's got a pretty broad
pelvic area.
Exactly. He's pretty wide in the hips, let's say. So, I mean, she could have hit him anywhere. It looked like it might have been sticking out of his leg, but it was point blank right there in the crotch. That's just rude.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, but you shot me somewhere where it wouldn't be fatal. And I'm thinking, if somebody shot me in the dick, I would die. Or I'd want to die.
Yeah.
I think I'd be like, all right, you know what? Can you just shoot me again in the head? Because at this point, I'd just kill me. All right.
Oh.
I just prefer not to live. Sorry.
Goodbye. Oh, damn. I just had such a horrible thought. Oh, God. Black Arachnia and Silverbolt are John and Lorena Bobbitt.
Jesus. She throws it out the window and says, oh, damn. Sorry about that.
Throws it off the side of the garbage scow.
Yeah, he's going to be doing Franken-penis adult video here in the future.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Show me your wang. Oh, sorry.
God.
It's like, there's debris falling, and this part's Waspinator, and that part's Waspinator, and look, it's Silverbolt's wang!
In Waspinator's mouth.
God, why do you gotta go there?
Cause...
Jeez, we had such a decent conversation going.
I know, we were doing fine there, and then you bring up, you know, yeah.
Well,
gay / fiction.
Oh, please. It's not like you guys haven't brought this show down. I need to get up on quota with you guys.
yeah. God.
What?
You totally just derailed my train. Thanks, man. Yeah. Yeah. Waspinator chewing on doggy bot penis.
Oh, God. You thought I was bringing the show down. I didn't go that graphic.
I know. I just, you know, now I got this stuck in my head and I can't think. Suck. All right.
Shattered ass.
Shattered ass.
Oh. Shattered ass Waspinator. Okay. All right. Get back on topic. Inferno. Did he die?
No.
No, but this was the most epic explosion of Inferno ever, and it had the most awesome, like, shine to his, to his character. It gave him some new, like, 3D depth. I mean, it looked pretty badass.
Yeah, I mean, he's just freaking insane, and then he points the gun in this huge pile of Energon, and it's like, you know what? I knew he was going to do that the whole time. the minute he came out of the ceiling, and that, you know, it's like, oh shit, he's going to be batshit crazy and shoot the Energon. And he did, but the way he did it was just so awesome.
Oh, and I have to point out, I'm glad you brought that scene up because I forgot to point it out. Optimus and Cheetor are cops.
Yeah.
Because that was one of my favorite images of Cheetor's Transmetal One form is him in the whole cop pose.
Oh, putting his hands together?
Yeah.
So he's shooting firebolts out of his...
No, not shooting stuff, just having the whole cop pose with the gun pointed out and, yeah.
What? Yeah, yeah. No, it was neat how they were just totally doing the SWAT team maneuver where it's
okay, clear,
and they get in and then they get death from above.
Yeah.
But I was thinking Admiral Akbar. It's a trap. And they run in and look, it's Inferno. It's a trap.
You idiot.
Whatever happened to the Energon cave? Shouldn't we? It's a trap.
Now, wasn't the same Energon cave as Tarantulas' lair, was it?
No.
I don't think it was. No, I don't think it was his base.
Because Tarantulas' base, if you remember, had only stable Energon.
Right, yeah.
This was something that I think Megatron was fully intending to slag the shit out of him with.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had that one cocked and ready.
You know, it's funny when Ravage and Megatron are talking, Megatron's like, the Maximals were expecting rescue. I was expecting something else. What the hell is the something else that he was expecting?
Being arrested.
There's no rubber ducky in jail.
Well, I like that he goes on and he's basically expositioning, you know. It's kind of like, I'm caught. I might as well, you know, tell you guys what my master plan is now.
It's backstory time, Perry the Platypus.
Yeah, exactly. But is this the first time that the Voyager was mentioned by name?
Yes.
In the Ark?
No, not the Ark, the Voyager, a Voyager space probe.
Okay,
because you know that the human golden disc is the golden disc from the Voyager space probe. But I don't think they've actually ever mentioned Voyager by name.
No.
And it was very interesting that, you know, Megatron's thinking, well, they're going to send this thing out into space. Eventually, someone I know is going to pick up on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that might be a little more brilliant than I'm expecting G1 Megatron to be. I think G1 Megatron was more, you know, let's drill into the center of the Earth and explode it. Rather than, you know, I think he was more about immediate gratification rather than long-term planning.
True, but they had to figure out something to tie the two continuities together, so they had to make him look like he knew what the hell he was doing.
Right, but I mean, this really is kind of like Beast Wars Megatron brilliant.
Well, see, this is almost, I'm thinking, because towards the end of Season 2, Megatron got more daring and more willing to sacrifice shit. So I'm thinking that this message was recorded towards the end of Season 2, possibly between Season 2 and the movie before he became Galvatron. Because he was getting more and more, you know, desperate to finally crush the Autobots instead of just a lot of instant gratification.
Yeah.
Right. Well, again, you know, it's like short-term planning. Not a whole lot of long-term planning. I mean, but then again, the G1 series was more single-episode story arcs. It wasn't like Beast Wars where you have a long story arc and don't even know about it, you know? You're being fed little bits of foreshadowing, and then three episodes later, wha-bam, you know, the big payoff.
Mm-hmm.
You just didn't get that in 1984. They didn't write them that way. You know, so, it's not G1 Megatron's fault that he has no, you know, overarching plans. It's the fact that they just didn't write episodes that way then. But, no, it was very cool that they brought up the Voyager. And, lastly, I kind of equate it. Again, I have to equate everything back to Star Wars, but part one was kind of like, you know, A New Hope, where the good guys win. And part two is kind of like, you know,
Return Empire.
Well, it's kind of like Empire Strikes Back, exactly, because the bad guys win. And you're kind of left wondering, well, what the hell's going to happen in the third one? Mm. Well, you know, the good guys are going to win, but...
No. Are you kidding me? No. Agenda Part 3, there is no way you can equate that to Return of the Jedi.
No, that's where it breaks the mold.
Exactly. No, but, you know, they did the same thing in the season finale for season 1, in that, you know, they pretty much, you know, blew up a moon and killed Primal. And it's like, well, what happens now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, I mean, on the one hand, I'm actually thinking, okay, you know, season 3, episode 1, everyone's going to get hit by this time blast and all, everyone's going to get new bodies again.
Oh, no.
No.
Not everybody. But anyway,
I know.
You got anything else, Michael, for part 2?
That's pretty much it. I was, you know, just happy with the whole epicness of this episode.
Yes. What about you?
I had a lot of notes, too, so, I mean, it was that epic.
Oh, yeah. What about you, Steve?
Okay. First, I think I'm going to start with quotes, since we covered a lot of the episode. Here's a few that I find quite funny. I like the scene where Black Ratnia says, oh no, you're not saving my life again, even after I shot you. And then Silver Bolt's like, well, it's my duty, you know, as a Maximal and as a hero character.
Yeah, he kind of broke the fourth wall there.
And then she tells him that she likes him big and stupid, but he's really pushing it, which is quite funny. I like that Inferno, you know, as he's down and out, and he's just laughing his ass off as he does like a coyote splat on the ground, almost coyote thing. Although no distance was used. And then he just burns up the crystals and starts laughing as he says, for the royalty. Which, you know, in that scene, it makes you, you know, it leads you to think that he was killed.
Which yeah.
You don't find out until later, but...
You know, it's funny that if we ever get a chance to talk with Mr. Burns, we're so going to have the two of you going back and forth with, yes, my queen, stop calling me that.
That would be hilarious.
Yes, it would.
I would love to interact in a scene with any of the voice actors, with me being Megatron.
Yep.
That would be hilarious and entertaining for me. Mm-hmm. You have no idea. That would be a record that I'd have to put in the episode.
Oh, yeah.
But, I like the scene that where, you know, they had Megatron leaving that generic message on the golden disc.
Yep.
And basically Beast Wars Megatron brainwashed Ravage into following him, showing that, hey, look, your leader told me to do this, you dumbass. You know, in a roundabout way. But did you guys look at the disc and then like on the wiki, they actually have it side-by-side of the Megatron's face mirrored in the disc and then the one on the transmission. And actually, the one on the disc actually looks almost about 99% accurate to the cartoon of G1. And the other one looks kind of off, more like the toy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys noticed that. Like, because if you look at the face, it kind of looks off on the transmission.
Yeah, I was just looking at it.
Yeah, it does.
I didn't see. I don't remember that scene where his face was reflected in the disc.
It's where they show the red laser being etched on the golden disc. It was like a real quick scene.
Oh yeah, see, no, okay, I see it now. The red laser.
Yeah, he's writing the message on it.
Yeah.
The heads look completely different.
Huh.
Which I found kind of odd.
That's true. Interesting.
Another thing I think that would have been cool, even though they reference it that I guess they were making a ton of effort to try and get Frank Welker to provide the voice of Megatron for the message, but I guess they had financial and scheduling conflicts before the episode, so they had to have Gary Chalk do it.
Yeah.
Which, that would have been awesome to hear Welker do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have.
That would have been the most awesome part of the episode, I think. But, Silverbolt technically gets a Waspinator splat alert by destroying Waspinator into the little shreds with the pod, being that Silverbolt was the only Maximal around when it happened.
Not really. I mean, the splat alert technically goes to the ship because neither one of them were steering the damn thing. It was out of control.
Well, true, but it was kind of indirectly Silverbolt's fault for distracting Black Arachnia. Therefore, you could kind of put a half point towards Silverbolt for destroying Waspinator.
He happened to be in the area.
Yeah.
He was even on the pod.
It's guilt by association.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. I thought it was funny that he told Black Arachnia to pull the vehicle over.
Yeah, that...
That was just that was quite funny.
I have major issues with scenes like that, not just in Transformers cartoons, but in any cartoons other than Looney Tunes, because...
Well, yeah, it's overused.
Well, it's not that it's overused, it's that I have always seen it in Looney Tunes first. I don't know if Looney Tunes were the first to ever do stuff like that, but that's where I remember it the most, and it being the most funny, and while it was funny in this, it just, I don't know, it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Of course, there was the quote. He goes, "You don't know whether you're gonna kiss me or kill me." And she goes, "I'm a Black Widow spider. I can do both."
Yeah, that was quite entertaining too.
Yeah, there Chrissy were a lot was of actually. Good... Yeah, I was gonna say Chrissy was sitting with me watching this while we were watching it together, and she's like, "Oh my God, she's not gonna kiss him, is she?" I thought that was funny.
That looked like a human kissing a dog. It was quite funny. Because the snout on his face.
Where's Barney when you really need him?
I love... Shut up. Go back to your corner. I'll come for you when I'm ready.
Where's the Gimp? The Gimp is sleeping. Go wake him up.
But he won't go to bed.
What else you got for part two, Steve?
The Gimp mask.
No, he died.
Death.
Yes, I was reading also that I guess during when Ravage transformed into cassette mode, when he was being destroyed, they were going to try and play the Generation 1 cartoon theme when he said Decepticons forever.
Mm-hmm.
However, copyright prevented it.
Yeah.
Which is lame. That's why they put that generic song.
Yeah, I know.
I wanted to hear the touch.
No, that wouldn't...
I wanted to transform.
No. Stop.
Touch!
No. Not the touch. Uh-uh. Instruments of Destruction.
Yeah, okay. I could have seen.
Oh, come on. You guys remember the song in the Megatron battle scene when he blows Ironhide's head off?
No, we only watched the movie and did the review.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, something we are completely forgetting for this part, for part two here. Rat Trap, I'm going cat hunting.
Yep, I was just about to get to that, too. I love how he's in that little, you know, station where Dinobot would grab his weapons from. And then Rhinox is like, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm going cat hunting." And he got himself like a little portable blowtorch.
Yep.
And they knocked their little... Yes, they knocked their little command chair thing. He opened up the hatch and fire away. There goes Rat Trap. And it was quite cool to see him jump up there. And then when he got it almost all the way done, he says, you know, something about, "You don't mess with the stainless steel rat." And then he rips off the top of it and jumps in there, and I like how he hangs down and Tarantulas is like, "What?" And then, you know, he says, got a couple of belly bombs here with your name right on them. Eat them and weep. And then he goes back out.
Yep. I kind of expected him to go, oh no!
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's in part... Was that three. In part three? Yeah, that was
really in part three. I was about to say, but
yeah,
I
know.
Sorry.
I jumped ahead.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was. I think right there, that whole scene, even with the Decepticons forever right in there, I think that whole scene right there would be my favorite part of the episode.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Well, that's one of my favorite parts. You have anything else for part two? Or should we just get into three?
I think we're pretty safe to go to part three.
The Agenda, part three. The special Cartoon Network preview was March 12th, 98. Regular syndication premiere was May 23rd, 98. And again, it was written by Bob Forward. Megatron's grand scheme comes to fruition as the Maximals arrive too late at the site of the crash-landed Autobot, Ark. Can Optimus Primal, Rhinox, Cheetor, Silverbolt, and Rattrap stop his plan from undoing the very future of the Transformers? Dun dun dun. So we were kind of already talking about the battle scene. My first note for part three was, damn, Rampage ran right over Quickstrike.
He disarmed him.
Yeah.
I thought that a lot of people were kind of dead here because Inferno is still missing, and I assumed he was dead because he pretty much blew up real good. I thought he vaporized in the last episode.
And Waspinator, you know, is not dead.
Well, you know, he's never dead. No, he's kind of Starscream indestructible.
Well, it could have something to do with Starscream taking him over.
Yeah, and Ravage... to jump ahead, he gets blown up pretty good. I'm pretty sure he's dead.
Yep.
He never shows up again, which is sad because everybody else comes back, but Ravage, you know, who's possibly the coolest character ever to show up here, ends up dying after, you know, one or two appearances. And thirdly, Rampage, who's supposed to be indestructible, gets blown up and doesn't come back. He's blown up by... you know, a missile the size of a house.
Yeah, but he does come back.
Well, see, now Inferno gets vaporized, Rampage gets vaporized, Ravage, blows up, but everybody else comes back, but not Ravage.
Right. Ravage doesn't come back. Rampage does, because, hell, the whole point of bringing Depth Charge into Season 3 was because he was hunting Rampage.
And he's indestructible, unless he has Raw Energon directly stabbed into his spark.
Yeah. So Rampage does come back. Rampage doesn't not be in the Beast Saga until Nemesis.
Yeah. No, he can't die anyway. But Inferno, that would have been a cool ending for Inferno, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of like the whole, you know, drum on his head at the end of... But anyway, we'll get to that in Season 3. Rhinox sliding with the chain guns of doom. Oh my god, I laughed my ass off. That was so hilariously awesome.
That was hilarious having him run by and go right on Rampage, and then Rampage's like ear thing started going ape shit, like you know, being shot. And then Rhinox runs a little bit more and then starts gunning him as he does like this kind of like classic action film thing, sliding over as he's firing.
He's doing the John McClane as he runs and jumps and fires with both guns.
Before he falls behind a rock.
Yeah, no, that was very cool.
Yeah, and we kind of already brought it up, but the whole, my note for the Rat Trap scene was, again, keeping with continuity, Rat Trap versus Tarantulas. Even though Rat Trap said he was going cat hunting, obviously...
He has to get the tarantula.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He always has to get him. That's pretty much, you know, Rat Trap's trademark. He has to attack tarantulas.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yep. And then at the end, after the battle is over and Rat Trap goes blowing out of the ship, my hero. Oh, get down.
Yeah, because he leans over, touches him on the face, and kisses him.
He kisses him.
All right, no slash fiction here.
Yeah, no. I wasn't going there. I was going for the more epic. I was going to go for the more epic note. The arc. Because holy crap, I didn't even see that coming. Even when Primal said in the other in the previous episodes, you know, if she's going where I think she's going, I'm like, where the hell do you think she's going? I didn't even see this coming.
She's going to the club.
Yeah.
she's where they don't wear their chassis. Yeah.
She's going to join the Matrix from the Matrix films.
Oh, God.
Oh, little digital codes.
Yeah.
She's going to go bouncing wow on the internet.
Why now? I know this is a nitpick, but in the flashback of Megatron or of Optimus telling the story of the Ark and all, or no, Black Arachne telling the story of the Ark and all that stuff, why the hell does Optimus Prime have Autobot symbols on the back of his arms?
Because they hadn't yet figured out how to put them on the sides or on the front. Either that or they were trying to make it so that it's like a mirror effect on either side, so you know who he is from behind.
Yeah.
I think they wanted to have the insignia on him, but they really only showed his entire body from behind.
In the flashback,
Yeah, he kind of came up behind. Well, yeah, he kind of, yeah, exactly. They didn't really, the only time they showed him from the front was from when they only showed his head, but no, that's not true because at the very end they showed his whole body. Slumped over the chair.
Well, even before that, when Megatron first comes up to him, they do show his whole torso. And they show the Autobot symbols on the front of both of his arms. Like I said, that, you know, that's a nitpick on my part about it. I don't understand why that was done that way, but whatever. Damn you, Megatron. Damn you. And that's in reference to the blowing up of Optimus Prime's head. Although I do love the altering images of the Time Storm.
Yes.
And
I liked how they did that with Primal, had him jump between his old beast and robot mode head.
Yep.
They didn't do that with anybody else, but they did it with him, which was kind of neat.
Yeah. And Steve, you have to read my last note. I'm putting it in the chat now.
I'll do that as the closing for the...
Yeah, my final note is, and you no longer exist! And, you know, Michael, you said earlier how much of a cliffhanger season one was. This is going to be the most cliffhanger thing that I have ever seen in Transformers. Holy crap.
This, when I watched this, like, when it was live on TV, I was so pissed.
See, that's the beauty of Michael and I. We didn't have the luxury of watching it on TV at the time, and thank God we didn't, because,
This popped the next disc in, so it was all right.
Well, see, this was the problem that we had. They played all of, you know, season one and season two on, like, Fox, and when we got to, Code of Hero, that's when they started doing the rest of season two on Cartoon Network.
Oh.
And then they, you know, made it some big, huge deal, and they had some contest where you could win every Beast Wars toy known to man up to that point on Cartoon Network, which we tried for hours on the phone to win. All of us. We had every phone line, cell phone used. I mean, it was nuts. But that's when I saw that on there, because I think they just blitzed out the whole rest of the season in like 1 week.
Yeah.
And I just remember watching this last episode and just being like, I thought it was freaking awesome as hell, but utterly I was pissed at the end of it because it was like, okay, I gotta wait, you know, 3 to 5 months for season three to show up, and I have no idea who's still alive. And believe it or not, at the time, Megatron was not my favorite character. He was my second favorite character. Primal was my first.
Mm-hmm.
That was before you perfected the voice?
Well, that was actually, between that and the fact that I kind of switched to Megatron when I created Predacon Empire. Initially. But, yeah.
Yeah. What notes do you have for this one, Steve, for this final part?
There's a cool quote where Silverbolt's flirting with Black Arachnia. She's like, what are you looking at? He says, the star. Well, planet, actually. Venus, it reminds me of you. And then she says, you mean hot, poisonous, and deadly? Oh, you're sweet. But it was like a reference to her real name.
Yep.
Which was kind of cool. yes. There was another scene with Primal and Cheetor where they're, you know, I like this particular line of the quote. Primal's like, when Cheetor asks where they're headed, he says, to the beginning of everything, Cheetor, and quite possibly the end.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, kind of references something Megatron uses in Season 3.
Yeah.
I am Alpha and Omega. Mm-hmm. The beginning and the end.
But yeah, that was kind of cool. They had the die-cast construction, It's a Lost Art, where Primal again breaks the fourth wall.
Yep.
I thought that was a nice touch to G1 with the die-cast thing.
Yep.
Right.
But see, the funny thing is that that whole quote, it's... I love it, but...
It doesn't quite fit either.
It doesn't... Well, it fits, but just the way that Gary said it, it doesn't fit because he uses an action voice part of Optimus Primal when he's like, die-cast construction, it's a lost art.
And it's like, die-cast construction, it's a lost art.
Yeah, yeah, and I know it's meant to be comical, but it just it doesn't fit to me because the latter part is said with, you know, more of a comical thing than a serious thing. But, whatever.
I think at the time, there was, all they had was Beast Wars toys, and they were all plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, the G1 toys, you know, had an awful lot of die-cast metal in them. They didn't actually return to die-cast metal
until
the alternators.
Oh.
The alternator line in Japan had die-cast metal. And I don't think there was any die-cast in anything else until then. Until roughly, yeah, the 2004. Oh, well, Titaniums came well after the
and they were lame.
Alternators. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're what?
And they're kind of lame.
I like them. I won't take them out of the packages.
I the only one I have is Scourge, and that's because I had the voice of it in a fan dub.
Ah.
But, but yeah. As for other notes, I like how they finish off all the rest of the Predacons in this one. Save Megatron and Black Arachnia. Other than her getting knocked out when they finally blow away the gun for Teletran.
Yeah.
I like how, you know, they basically kick Teletran's ass initially. And Megatron kind of floats through the arc while they're all being preoccupied, and you see all these downed Autobots and Decepticons.
I gotta bring something up here. Our resident fanboy, Stefan, sent me a message on Facebook saying that apparently there's a continuity error that they show Cup in the arc. It's like when Megatron first goes into the hall.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't see it.
He sent me that too, and I actually replied as to what that may have been. But once I saw the episode, I was looking for Cup, and I actually rewound it a couple of times. I didn't see him.
I didn't see him either.
No. I noticed that on the bridge they show Prowl, Jazz, Ratchet, and Ironhide.
The only ones they show in that scene of the downed ones, are, you know, Prowl, Prime, Megatron, Ironhide, Thundercracker, Soundwave, and Starscream.
Yeah. And that's why I was wondering, maybe it's you know, they're going to revisit the arc in season three, so maybe that happens in season three. I'm not sure. Stefan didn't actually mention a particular episode, but it didn't happen in this one.
Yeah. I thought in mine he said the agenda. In my message he said the agenda, but I don't remember.
If he does show up, it's not an agenda. I watched that actually this morning, and I didn't see any trace of Cup whatsoever.
Okay. So basically what we're trying to tell you is, Stefan, is you're wrong.
At least for this one. That he may, you know, there may be a technical glitch in a future episode when they feature the arc and floating through, but this particular one, he's not there.
Right.
What else? You got anything else, Steve?
I like the little flashback scene that they had with, you know, showing Prime getting out of his chair and, you know, showing the Decepticon ship, or at least the symbol on there.
Yeah. Red symbol.
And showing, yes. And, I mean, granted, it was the wrong color, but whoop-de-freaking-do, they at least got the symbol to look correct.
Yeah.
Which is better than nothing. They kind of focused on Starscream again, which was quite funny, in my opinion, because he's made how many references in this show since the beginning? Since the web, you've seen Starscream kind of intermittently show up in various forms. So that was kind of a nice touch. And as for the most awesome quote of the episode,
say goodbye to the universe, Maximals. The future has changed. Yes, the Autobots lose. Evil triumphs, and you no longer exist.
That was an epic quote. I kind of like the one where he says, "I unleash the storm of vengeance." Better.
Now we are face to face, Optimus Prime. In one future, you awaken and become the great Autobot leader of the Autobots. But time shall take a different track now. Computer, all available power to primary weapon. And now, Optimus Prime, in memory of the Decepticons, for the glory of the Predacons, for the Cybertron that is rightfully ours and mine to rule, I unleash the storm of vengeance. Farewell.
I like that quote.
Yes.
I think that's very cool.
What notes do you have for this one, Michael?
Not much past that. I like where Rat Trap does Dr. Strangelove. How he stopped worrying and learned to love the bomb. he's riding the missile.
And
you actually see his tail.
Have you guys actually seen Dr. Strangelove?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, you'll have to go back and see that. It's a classic. And I like how Black Arachnia kind of gives in to Megatron in order to save Silverbolt.
Well, she says fine, but only because we have to get to cover anyway.
Well, yeah, but she really, you know, didn't want Silverbolt to get his head chewed off.
Details.
Yeah, you know, she's got a thing for him. We know. We understand. And lastly, when Megatron actually got access to the bridge on the Ark, I mean, you kind of get a feeling of how big, you know, the Transformers are. The G1 Transformers, I should say. Because he kind of floats in there, and there's this huge cavern. And he kind of floats down the hall and past these bodies that are 10 times bigger than he is. And, you know, as he kind of floats up around and in front of Optimus Prime, you kind of get a glimpse of the bridge. And it's like, wow, this is really big. This is huge.
Yep.
It was nice. I enjoyed it.
I like where Megatron called them archaic energon guzzlers.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was the whole thing with about the Maximal upgrade, or if you call it the Predacon upgrade, or the downgrade.
Well, they all did the great upgrade, which actually made them smaller so that they could use less energon, which was good and bad at the same time. Yet, somehow they still muster the same amount of power. I.e. Megatron blasting Prime's head to smithereens.
But I like the way they did it. He just kind of fired his weapon at it, and it, you know, it's almost like a prism where light started shooting out in all different directions.
Oh, pretty colors.
Yeah, ooh, pretty. And I don't know if, and again, I haven't watched the season 3 episodes yet, or at least I haven't rewatched them yet, but I don't remember if the, if they show Optimus Prime with, like, no head, or how that's going to work.
Oh, no, they don't show him with no head.
But it's destroyed, but it's still there.
Yeah.
Is it like horrible. Zombie Prime with one eye missing and...
Oh, worse.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
He looks like Skeletal Prime.
Oh, sweet.
And his head.
And, oh, well, I'm going to have to watch that, like, tonight then, because that'll be cool.
What else you got, Michael?
That about covers it. Was actually, sadly enough, didn't do all my research here. I was just now looking at the TF Wiki page, and it's a long-ass page. There's a lot of stuff here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. But, that's about all I got. Oh. I don't want to sit here and read the wiki, but yeah.
Yeah, let's not do that and say we did. All right, well, I think that's going to do it for Season 2, and we're going to go to some quotes, and we will be back with the outro.
No! By Primus, no!
Whoa, the Ark.
We're in for it now!
Excellent. Keep them busy, Black Arachnia. Yes.
Where are you going?
I shall effect a more permanent solution.
We have to get Megatron out of there! Everything that is the existence of the entire universe depends on it!
You got it, Big Bot!
Oh man, that ship wasn't built, it was poured.
Diecast construction,
it's a lost art.
I enter these hallowed halls, a conqueror. Yes. Autobots and Decepticons, still frozen in emergency stasis, awaiting the moment 4 million years hence, when they will awaken to start the Great War. The Great War. Will the Autobots defeat the Decepticons? And thus their descendants, the Maximals, rule we Predacons. Archaic energon guzzlers. How dare they? Unwilling though I was to follow my namesake's instructions, it has all come down to this. The ultimate risk for the ultimate prize. A day of reckoning. With those who made us slaves!
Concentrate your fire on that fusion cannon! If we can force a backblast...
now face to face. Optimus Prime. In one future, you awaken and become the great leader of the Autobots. But time shall take a different track now. Computer! All available power to primary weapon!
Weapon power to maximum.
We have to get inside!
It's jammed! Oh man, the power surge must have...
And now, Optimus Prime, in memory of the Decepticons, for the glory of the Predacons, for the Cybertron that is rightfully ours, and mine to rule!
Come on! Come on!
I unleash the storm of vengeance! Farewell.
We'll return to the Beast Unleashed podcast after this.
And now, here's quote number one.
Silverbolt, do it! If she's headed where I think she's headed...
Quote number two.
Shut me!
No, duh, dog boy. I'm evil. Now do you believe me?
Quote number three.
No, not fair. Why is we need to mind our own business when, bang, this whole stasis pod right off the kazooty.
Quote number four.
Yo, string butt! Got a pair of belly bombs here with your name right on them. Eat them and weep.
And quote number five. Yes.
My hero.
Oh, get down.
Hey, this is Cheetor, and you're listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast, Ultra Gear.
Now, back to the Beast Unleashed podcast.
Thank you for joining us here on the Beast Unleashed podcast. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each of the episode posts. Join the forums, predaconempire.com/nexus. Leave the show feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. Beast Unleashed is the show Twitter. TFG on Mike is mine. Michael, what is your Twitter?
PeconCT Michael.
And Steve?
SCP21.
Yes, become a fan on Facebook. Search GeekCast Radio Network. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast. Join us next time when we will be recapping Beast Wars Season 2. For now, I am TFG on Mike with...
Michael Wilson.
And Steve Megatron Phillips.
Close the show, Megatron.
And you no longer exist, TFG1 Blanchard. No. Say goodbye to the universe, Maximals. The future has changed. Yes, the Autobots lose. Evil triumphs. And you... You no longer exist!